M is for Mason.
G is for Graham.
B for Thatcher.
This is the MGB Wrestling Podcast, the podcast with PG rated material accessible to wrestling fans of all ages.
Alright, the final session in day two. So, first match, I have... actually, this is a four-way match. I'm not quite sure the order they came in. I got Mac Buckler, I got Wes Barkley, Eddie Only, and Bro Keller. Okay, what do we have for this?
I had Josh, he has to stay on the outside because he's grounded.
he was grounded.
And then there's a chant, he is grounded. And then Josh, he's super mad, so you know how he always has to wear Matt's hair hat? He puts it on his head and then throws it to the ground and says, I'm not wearing that.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was absolutely hilarious.
We saw him during the intermission. He was still grounded in his dad's corner.
He had to turn and face the corner as well.
And then he ran away.
And he did. And then somebody grabbed him and brought him back again. And then he had to apologize. Because I was over there at that time and he had to go back into the corner again. And we talked about this with the people next to us. He stays in character really well.
Yeah.
Like, he talked trash with you in character. And, yeah, even in the intermission he did it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. All right, do you have anything specific about the match?
No.
All right. Now, Bro Keller actually won this one. And, once again, he was really enthusiastic. But, actually, the person who most impressed me in this one was actually Kevin Trash, who I think is actually the person Eddie Only that I mentioned earlier. And his nickname is 8-Ball. And I just thought he was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
He had a couple of really good moves in a row, which, unfortunately, with a four-way match, you can never guarantee that's going to help you. Because somebody can always just benefit from your moves. He's one I would definitely want to see again. I actually looked on Twitter just to see what he said. I had a blast with at VA Wrestling debut tonight. Crowd was great, and now I'm even more excited for my at @sup_graps debut tomorrow. Now, that got particular attention from me. You're not even listening to me right now, so obviously I wasted my time with this. At @sup_graps. Mean anything to you?
I sort of remember it.
That was the pin that we got from Kick Out at 2. Because I asked you to read it to me. I think it's the one that's on my jersey.
Yeah,
so I was like, what does that say? And you said, it says...
Oh, it's Kick Out at 2.
No, it's @sup_graps.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. But they gave us the thing. It must be the one that they go and watch, I'm guessing. So, so it was his debut, as far as I could tell, at Nova Pro, if you ignore the safety squad thing. And he's got another debut tomorrow. But no, I was really impressed with him. I'd definitely like to see a bit more about him. And I had the same thing, Josh in timeout, but you already mentioned. All right, next match we had on the pre-show, Bo Crockett and Deshaun O'Neal. I'm hoping I'm sorry, DeJuan O'Neal against Lainey Luck and Machiko. Okay.
Yeah, I had him as Mr. Second and One. That's that was his nickname, but that's all I got. So Deshaun.
I think it's DeJuan. It's D E J U A N. Now I don't remember how I found it, but I did look on. It's kind of difficult to look on Twitter when you don't even know what their name is, and I found it somewhere, and I followed him on Twitter now, so I know a little bit more about him.
I sort of remember him.
But somebody around us said, we'd seen him before,
yeah,
for sure. And somebody around him said his name was Juggernaut, which I couldn't find anything about Juggernaut either, so unless that was a previous nickname as well. But I felt kind of sorry for him. He had to tag with Bo Crockett, which nobody wants. He was trying to hit on Lainey Luck as well, and was like, let's not even bother having a match. Just give me your number. We can call this match off. And Lainey Luck wasn't paying any attention to him. She did one time, actually. I think she chopped him on the chest. And she sort of felt his chest, and then she turned around. She's like, oh. You can see, like, there's a little heart flutter there. She was kind of impressed, and then she was like, no, and then got back into the match again. But I thought it was a fun match. I liked the match. They had the signs again. This is when they had the bow leaf signs then, and he ripped it up, and then he got a second bow leaf sign. And the other guy was like, they don't like you over there, do they? Mm-hmm. And no, the 1% do not like him. And at this point, if I'm right in saying, and the game community lost every match that they really wanted to be in. They didn't even have anything. I think Bo Crockett lost as well, which might have been their only thing. So they really rooted for Bo to lose.
Yeah, they might want to see PCO destroy Eric Royal.
That could be true as well.
Yeah.
All right, do you have anything for this one? I got a few things.
I had one thing and I forgot it.
All right, the thing I liked about it was the entrance by Lainey Luck and Machiko.
Yeah.
They were on the outside doing a little dance. I got like a 4-second video, and they were moving their arms side to side and dance. And unfortunately, Machiko tried to get into the ring just as I was recording, and I didn't quite manage. My camera takes so long to get ready. If I leave it on, my battery runs out at that place, and I can't charge it up during intermission or anything. So I had to keep switching it off and trying to switch it on. The other thing I liked is how they do their, when they want to tag each other in.
Yeah.
It's like a secret handshake thing. They like do the slap, slap, tap, or whatever it was. But I really liked that as well. I thought they worked really well as a team. And it was kind of a shame that they didn't win. They actually lost. Bo Crockett won. There was one more chant that we missed, though. Yeah. Bo, please leave the building. Bo, please leave the building. And it got really loud. Yeah. I don't know who came up with that, but it was brilliant.
I think it was the guy in the 1% with the red shirt and the Logan.
Whoever came up with that first was brilliant. And I'm hoping they're going to do that every time he comes now. Because I thought that was a really good song. And it fits that song absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I remember one more thing. The one... He gave Machiko a drop kick, and then I felt like chanting bad impression.
He didn't want to fight them. He really didn't want to fight them, and I don't think he wanted to be with Bo either. Alright, next match was, and this was also just in the pre-show, John Kerman, the Kermanator, and Kurt Stallion. Now, I was excited by this. I've seen bits of John Kerman, but we've always been at the back before, and I've never quite got to see him. So this is, I think, the first time we've been up front and got to see a singles match. Like, I've seen him before in, like, when he was in the Rumble, which is not quite the same sort of thing. So, yeah, I was excited to see this one. I was really impressed with him again. A really good technical wrestler. Kurt Stallion was a similar type of thing as well, so I thought that helped him show what he could do. And, yeah, John Kerman got over by submission. Now, it was kind of a few interesting things from this one. John Kerman sits on the floor. He actually sits on his behind, and he was actually going, like, come on over. And it was like, what are you doing? He's going to, like, kick you in the face. And I think he did. I think he kicked him in the face. It was like, oh, bad move. But he knows how to flip those moves over. Like, it looks like Kurt's going to get a submission, and then suddenly Kerman switches it. And I saw that same thing when I was watching the 2017 Commonwealth Cup. That first round match that he won. Very impressive. A great technical wrestler. I definitely want to see more of John Kerman as well. I think that MMA background really helps him with all that submission stuff.
So at the start of the match, like Kurt Stallion, he would put Kerman in a submission hold, and then Kermanator, he would put Kurt in a submission hold, and then vice versa.
There was a lot of reversals. Yeah. There was a lot of reversals, and I really liked that match. And it didn't go on too long because it's a pre-show match, and they're ready to set things up to try and get people to subscribe, and then they moved on to the main show. Now, to kick off the main show, Stokely Hathaway came out again. He says he's a patient person. He's given Fred Yehi the opportunity of a lifetime, but he's got no response. So he tried to get him to sign a contract, and he said, look, I'm going to wait for you backstage. And then he just didn't sign it. Anyway, Fred comes in, gets the contract, slams it on the floor, stamps on it, and everyone's like, yay! And then he picks the contract up, gives him like a fist bump or something, a handshake and a hug, and yeah, he signs. So he's part of that. He's part of Stokely Hathaway's little group now. So anyway. Alright, so first match that we had in this one was Fred Yehi, which is why we just mentioned him, versus Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. Okay. Yeah. What do you have then for our first semifinal?
I remember it was a great wrestling match, and the last time Fred Yehi he wrestled before the Commonwealth Cup was against Jordan Grace.
Uh-huh.
And Jonathan Gresham threw the thing, the towel.
Yep. That was a good match. That was a great match.
I just remember it was a great match.
Yep.
And Hot Sauce won by rolling up Yehi. And then Yehi, he was so mad that he lost the match by a roll up.
He was, yep. Now, I have a similar thing to what you just said about John Kerman, actually. I thought there was a reversal after reversal after reversal. And another just very technical match, which I really liked. The thing that I did write down for this one was, I don't think I've ever seen a crowd so split. There was the crowd of, yay, hi, and then it was Hot Sauce, yay, hi, Hot.
Yeah,
and you could hear Bo sound, and it was loud. It was very even. There was no noticeable favorite for this one. And I thought that was good. It keeps both men happy, kind of. I agree with you. I thought it was a great match. Hot Sauce did get the win, like you said, so let's move on to our next
match. I actually think that's good, because they put each other over. That's a 50-50. That's the best thing a wrestler can hope for.
I agree, yeah. Both got something out of it, both got positives out of it, and the crowd liked both.
Unless you're like Bo, that you try to be a heel, and you want them to boo you.
That would be the exception.
Like, Bo obviously is a good heel if he gets that much heat.
Absolutely. Alright, the second semi-final was Dominic Guarini and Sage Phillips. Now, do you want to talk about what happened that leads up to this match at all? Can you remember from the previous pay-per-view?
I don't even have anything for this match, because I can't remember anything.
Oh, that's fine. Well, I'll talk about this one. So, in the previous one, Sage Phillips was facing Dominic Guarini, and Sage Phillips won, I believe.
Yeah.
And then Dominic Guarini got him. Oh, no, he won. I'm sorry, Dominic Guarini won. I believe. But then he knocked out Sage Phillips and knocked him down. And he put him in like an arm lock. And he basically said, I'm going to break his arm unless you let me in the Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason. And Brian had to. So that was the only reason he even made it. So there's definitely a history between these two. Anyway, and it started off like that. Sage Phillips did a suicide dive before the bell even rang. Because Sage was in the ring first. Yeah, and he ran straight to our side of the ring and then straight to the side and took him out. So he set the precedent for this match really quickly that it was going to be a lot of action in there. There was, and Sage Phillips got the win. And I don't have too much for this one either. I was just enjoying the match. I thought it was a good match. There were submission moves again. Sage is really good. He doesn't have the same size as the other people, but he certainly makes up for it in... He won't back down to anybody, as we saw later against Arik Royal. He stood up to Arik Royal as well, so he's not afraid of anybody.
That was like the match I need a break of taking notes, because I just took notes for the last, two sessions that were in...
So you took a little time out?
Yeah.
It's good. I'm glad I remembered something from that one then.
The last 24 hours.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, the third semi-final. And the reason there's four, normally you just have two if it's a semi-final, but there's going to be four people in the final. Third semi-final was Wheeler Yuta and Homicide. Okay, go ahead, Mason.
So Homicide, he's outside the ring, and he slides a chair and hits Wheeler Yuta in the knee like he did to Mo.
He did the same thing. Yeah. I still like it. Even though I've seen it before, I still like watching it. Yep. That's like his signature.
Every single time, it's right in front of us.
It was. I'm sure that's for the main camera so they can see that, but yeah. No, I really like that.
That's the bad thing, though. When, like, PCO, he wants to dive outside the ring, you have to be right on top of it. But you get to see stuff like that. Unless if you're, like, the one percenters, you have to look everything on the other side. Unless they're inside the ring.
Now, once again with this match, I thought this was one I was excited for. I talked about this in the intermission. I was excited to see this match. And they're both great wrestlers. Homicide, obviously, is Impact. Wheeler Yuta, I've always been impressed with. I think he's had 5 matches now at Nova Pro, and I was actually, with him qualifying to this one, I think this was actually this might have been his 6th match. So, no, always impressed with them. Great technical wrestlers again. Homicide has a slightly different style to him, but they managed to incorporate both of them together. And I think you saw them actually through the window as we were working, because you said, oh no, they're on our side of the ring. I can see it.
Whole entire time I saw them fighting on the other side of the ring, the slamming each other on the apron. One of us was about to... Yeah, we left our stuff there to guard our seats. Uh-huh. And so Homicide, he was about to... So he grabbed Yuta and he was about to, like, push it into the chair.
Uh-huh.
But I'm guessing he was pretending that was the ring. Because they did that in the ring.
Of course. Yeah, of course. There's so many people trying to warm up that you just have to get whatever space you can. And really great match. And it was way too much to write down for this. Except for the finish. The finish was really confusing.
Yeah.
Wheeler rolled Yuta up. Why do I keep saying Wheeler? Wheeler Yuta rolled Homicide up, and it was a clear 2 count, and he kicked out. And then the ref went 3, and it was like, ring the bell. And we're like, whoa, what? It wasn't even close.
Yeah, I wonder if Brian or
wasn't
Mike
even close.
Yuta said something.
Everybody
like,
was confused. Everybody was confused. I think Wheeler was surprised. Homicide was definitely unhappy. And yeah. And now, it was like, that doesn't even make sense. And then we're like, why would they do that? It was such a good match. And it was such a horrible finish. I'm like, why would you do that? And I said at the time, the only reason I can think they're doing this is going to come in as a story later. And then I totally forgot that comment.
Yep.
And that turned out to be really important. For those of you who weren't there, you're going to find that out in a minute. Oh, there was one more funny thing from this match as well. I hope I put this... You used your notepad to protect yourself. You were worried about getting hit and stuff. You lifted up a notepad that can only have like 50 pages in it.
Anything else?
Is the size of an index card. It's not even a full notepad.
Anything
it was else? Hilarious. Anyway, all right, let's move on to the one that I really want to talk about. PCO and Arik Royal. Now, I've been excited about this for 24 hours, and you've been excited about this for 24 hours. Now, I want to give some backstory to this as well. And you won't know all of this, Mason, because I got some of this from Twitter. I told some of you about this. So, Dylan Hayes, which I think is Papa Hales' son, if I remember correctly. He said, PCO is signing fans' hockey jerseys in the front row. I love it. And I didn't realize at the time, he's from Tennessee. And if I'd looked at the place, so he was watching on Powerbomb TV. I thought he was there when I first read this. And the King Chivas, that's great. If he got that kid who tweeted him earlier, and it was. So I replied. He replied to the tweet, and he said he would, and he was good on his word. MGB Wrestling Pod was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this all stemmed from, and I think this is during the second session. I think it's even before the first match in the second session. So I tweeted out on your behalf. Picture of you stood in front of the ring so he could see your jersey, and you know what you look like. Mason's hoping he can get at PCO Quebecca to add his autograph to his jersey today. And you did. You wanted his autograph. And the reason we did this was, and I hadn't thought about it, we didn't see him at the merch table.
No.
And I was like, why? And like, everybody wants his merch. And then somebody explained it. Quebecer, Quebec, Canada. He came from Canada.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to bring merchandise with you from Canada to America. Because it's like sales. You can't come on a holiday where you're actually doing a business.
Oh.
So he's not allowed to bring merchandise. So he didn't have t-shirts. He didn't have anything like
well,
that.
You can go,
so we yeah. knew that he couldn't have any 8x10s or anything. So that was, I was trying to think how. You could, but how? It's kind of difficult to do that. So, well, I'm not even sure you can do that either. No. That might null your visa. If you're making money on something that's not supposed to be for that. Now, obviously you get paid to wrestle.
Yeah.
So I don't understand all the rules. But anyway, that's how somebody explained it to me. And it made perfect sense. And I was like, did we see him on day one? Except for being in the ring. No. How else are we going to let him know that? Now, I saw he retweeted one of the pictures I took, because the picture with my knees and him and Nick Gage. So I knew he responded on Twitter. So I was like, I can put it out. He can ignore it. He can only say no. And he didn't. He said he would do it. And sure enough, he actually did it. So let's carry on a little bit more. He did respond. He said the name PCO will be on his jersey. And he responded really quick. So we were excited straight away. Like, man, we can get PCO's autograph on your jersey. Now, your jersey has, for people who haven't seen it, mine says Nova Pro and 20. Yours says Wrestling and 18. So when we sit together, it says Nova Pro Wrestling 2018. And you got a couple of autographs from other people that don't have 8x10s. And it's a good way, actually, of getting autographs for people that don't have the pictures.
Yeah.
We got Benjamin Banks, who we interviewed on here, and his teammate, Diamond Victor Griff. So it was good that PCO as well can go on with that. Now, we also went to Eric Royal as well and said, hey, do you have any 8x10s? We want to buy one. He's like, no. Now I think we know who we want the next autograph to be.
Yep.
Eric Royal, seems he just had, as we're going to say in a minute, a fantastic match against PCO. And if he doesn't have any, he said he's going to get some new ones. If he gets some new ones, we'll definitely buy that 8x10 from him. And if he doesn't get them, we would definitely like to ask him, would he sign that jersey? That's going to be kind of cool. I think you've got a really cool little collectible there at some point at the end of this year.
I have the Ugly Ducklings on the start. And when PCO, he signed my jersey, he had his hand on my shoulder. I don't think he was even trying to push me down, but I was trying so hard not to topple over.
And I was trying to hold the number flat so he could write on it as well. And I watched today. You can see it all on Powerbomb TV. It looks really cool. Because originally he said, oh, I'll sign later. And then he just got out the ring and just came on over. And yeah, he went ahead and signed it for you. Now, I saw this, and I didn't tell you this part about it. He actually responded because I think he saw some of the tweets about you being mentioned here. And he said, I remember being a kid and what those things meant to me. It was a great day for PCO. And I actually added a comment to him. I was like, oh, I can tell you right now, it meant a huge deal to him. I know you were really touched by the fact that he did that for you. And I think people around were like, whoa, he's signing that kid's jersey.
Like the kid next to us, the man next to us, he's on Twitter. He said, PCO is a very dangerous man. And then he posted a picture of him signing my jersey. Oh, never mind. He's a nice man.
He is. And I'd actually heard this as well from Sean from the Squared Circle shout out. Because he'd interviewed him on Monday. And he said he's a really nice guy. And I haven't listened to his yet because I can't get it on iTunes. But I listened to somebody else's podcast who was on iTunes. And they said the same thing. Like, he's a really nice guy. So, no, it was a really cool moment. Now, the other thing with that match as well, and we've not even really talked about the match, it was same high-flying stuff again.
Yep.
And you actually, you had a choice of seats this time, and you moved away from the middle to the side.
Yeah,
you actually sat next to Maddie and Zach. And they kind of, and after watching the Powerbomb TV thing back, I'm going to show you later, they were really looking after you. It was really nice. They were taking you, making sure, are you okay? You could see, because you can't hear the sound because they're not microphoned up or anything. But you could see from hand gestures that they were checking, like, are you okay? And it's like, oh, isn't this cool at the same time? And I stayed there. I didn't move. I had my hat, though, for this one. I had my Safety First Tim Donst yellow hat. And as soon as they came near, I put it on. And somebody noticed my hat as well. But I stand out when I'm wearing that hat. But as soon as the action was gone, I took my hat off and just put my regular black cap on. So that was kind of a cool thing to do for this one. We've talked so much about, for me, that's the thing that I'll remember more than anything else about this match in a few years' time is the fact PCO came out and signed your jersey after a match while everything was still going on.
Gave me a fist bump.
Now, something I'd missed at the end that I hadn't noticed because somebody else pointed it out. Eric Royal, even though he won the match, and we can talk about other things in the match in a second, he got out of the ring quick and he left the stage for PCO to enjoy. Even though Eric Royal was the star of that match because he won it, PCO, he left him get the applause. And he did. He got all the applause. He got a standing ovation. He got all the cheers. Please come back.
That's nice.
Oh, absolutely. It was a really...
He didn't have to do that.
He definitely did not have to do that. It was really clear. Now, the person who pointed it out from here is actually Andy Goss. Underrated awesome bit from the Commonwealth Cup after the match. At Big Eric Royal exits the ring hastily and makes it clear that he wants at PCO Quebecer to exit in glory. That's a future legend saluting a current one. Wrestling is great. And I agree. And I'd missed that. Because I was so focused on PCO, I'd not really noticed that. And I thought that was really cool that he actually did that. He definitely said, will you come back? And I saw people ask on Twitter, will you come back? And he said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Of course, it's not his decision.
Not next month
when we're not here. Yeah, check with us first, PCO, okay? We definitely want to make sure that we're there as well. But no, so he's willing to come back. So I'm hoping that Nova Pro would like it. That's the biggest pop I've seen for anybody at Nova Pro.
Yeah, I think they want to keep him.
I can't think of anybody who's had that reaction.
Nope.
A standing O for a loser. Loser of a match. That sounds really bad. And afterwards as well, on Powerbomb, he went round. Everyone wanted high five from him. I saw also pictures with different people afterwards where he was taking pictures. The only downside I've got to say for PCO, he's a Yankees fan. Mm. I saw a picture with Sean. He's got his Yankees cap on. So I think I'll put that aside with it being PCO. I think anybody else I've had a trouble with that one, but I'm just joking. But that's the only negative thing I can actually say. Anything you want to say about the match?
Yeah. The only bad thing, too, is that he can't bring any merch over.
That's true. I'm sure we could look up online. He probably got something on the pro t-shirts or whatever. It's pro wrestling t-shirts, I think there is. So we might be able to get something like that.
Okay,
but no.
Are we going
to
start talking about the match now?
I don't have anything for the match at all. So you can. This is all you. I just talked about what happened before the match, after the match. I will say that I couldn't decide at the end which was the best match of the whole tournament. Was it the one from yesterday with PCO or was it this one with PCO? And I think they're both brilliant. They both have something. The one yesterday, it was outside the ring. Today, a lot of it was inside the ring. And that would be the difference. But I thought they were both brilliant matches.
Yeah. So I moved two seats to the left. And so Eric Royal, he was outside the ring. PCO, he jumped out. Nothing. Doesn't care about his body. He just did whatever he wants to. And then in the ring, he did a backflip. He jumped on Eric Royal. He did a frog splash. And then he did another backflip. He put his hands on the top rope and then he like pushed off and then he landed on Eric Royal.
Yep.
He does some crazy stuff.
He does. And I can't remember who I followed on Twitter today. Somebody took some fantastic pictures. Somebody who was sat to the right of us on the corner. He actually has the move right near the end where he's jumping in his midair and you can see his arms spread out.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. He took some really good, yes, he took some really good pictures. A lot of people took really good pictures for this one. And like I said, go watch it on Powerbomb TV, basically. If necessary, use that free code. I think Nova Pro is for 20 days. Go watch it. Phenomenal 2 days worth of matches. And I actually got a little assist before we recorded this podcast. I wanted to go see that match. I skipped the first semifinal, second semifinal. Went to the third one with Wheeler Yuta. Not there. Fourth match, not there. I was like, whoa, what happened? So I asked Powerbomb. I was like, that whole thing was like, because there's an incident we haven't talked about yet. And I was like, oh, did that affect this? I was like, what happened? Anyway, I asked them. They responded on Twitter within an hour. And they said, we're looking into it. I told them where to look. And then half an hour later, they said, it's fixed. People who did it are getting flogged. It means they're getting beaten, basically. They were joking. But yeah, I got an assist for that, for finding that error and putting it out. And I said, two reasons. I said, one, I want everybody to be able to see those brilliant two matches that we just talked about. And secondly, I want to see if I can see my son getting his jersey signed on Powerbomb TV. And you can totally see it. And I will show you later so you can see exactly what I was. But that was a really cool moment that we got to experience with that. And then amazingly, kind of an anti-climax. Having seen that match, the women's final, which obviously is a huge match. Jordan and Ali, which got to the final, which to me wasn't a big surprise. What do you want to say about this match? Oh, let me talk about what happened before the match, unless you want to talk about before the match.
You can do it.
All right. So as we got back from the intermission and we put our stuff in the car, can you remember what we saw?
Oh, yeah. They came in together.
They did. They arrived in the car and they wanted, well, can't we park at the front? And the guy's like, no, you got to park over here. So they parked and, yeah, so they came in together in the car. They'd obviously gone out for food or something. And then we were inside and then they walked past us as well. And I didn't notice any injuries at that point, but. A little bit of broken kayfabe at that point, but obviously that's fine. We
make
know
sure
that
they don't want to have a super sub or something.
We know
like,
that
they powers them.
We know that they're friends.
Yeah.
And to me, that was, and you could tell the chemistry between those two in the ring was fantastic. It was a great final, but when you've had that match before, it was just like, whew, All right, go ahead. I'll let you talk about this match.
So, Jordan, her left knee is injured. Alley Cat, her back is injured. So, they each have an injury. And each other, they go for each other's injury. So Jordan Grace, she takes off her knee brace, but she really doesn't mean. So, it's flinging. So, she rips off the last strap, and it flings over the one percenters, and one of them makes a great snag.
He did. Yeah. I forgot that. It was like catching a foul ball in the game. I've forgotten that, yeah.
And so Jordan's knee is exposed, but Allie has a little piece of tape on her back. And so later in the match, Jordan Grace, she rips the tape off Alley Cat's back.
Uh-huh.
So they're both exposed. They both have exposed injuries, and Jordan Grace actually has the worst of those injuries, and she wins that match.
And I don't have much for this one as well. I was not taking notes. And it's not that it wasn't a great match, but we said we're going to try and be short. Let's move on to the next one.
The next match is Jimmy Jacobs versus Alexander James.
It was. And my only comment I really have for this one, Jimmy Jacobs stopped the match, and he said, oh, hold on a second. Like, so you're a prince? He's like, yeah, I'm a prince. And he's like, oh, I'm a zombie princess. And then the crowd's going, royal wedding. Once again, that was my favorite part of that match. No, good trade-offs again between them. Alexander James took the win. I didn't think it mattered who took the win particularly. Jimmy Jacobs took another loss. Jimmy Jacobs, I could watch his matches so much. They're so entertaining. I don't really have anything.
The only thing I have is that Alexander James broke Jimmy Jacobs' little crown that he had on his head.
Oh, yes, he did. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And he got super mad about that, and then he started, you know.
Yep. Yep. All right, let's move on to the next match then.
The next match is Nick Aldis versus Isaiah Frazier with Coach Gator.
It is, and this was for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, and we already saw Isaiah Frazier qualify for this last night. And we actually got to see Nick Aldis before the match.
Yeah, Nick Aldis, I keep calling him Magnus, because that was his Impact name. And I saw one match, and he was Magnus.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see one match, but it was like a tournament.
Okay.
It was, like, they had team captains, like, in soccer.
Oh, it was the World Cup. Yeah. Okay, I got
it. And they picked teams, and EC3 picked Magnus. And
okay.
It was Nick Aldis.
And actually, I have it written down here, Nick, in parentheses, Magnus Aldis. So I wonder if that's his nickname, or that's just to show that he used to be Magnus. I didn't even notice that when I copied this down.
We went to get his picture, and he had an Impact on it, and it had Magnus.
Yeah.
And when I went to shake his hand, I knocked over the...
You did. You knocked over his belt. He had set up nicely. And I forgot as well. I remember Friday morning, and I didn't realize until I'd listened to Sean's interview on, once again, the Squared Circle. Oh, sorry. Was this Squared Circle? I'm sorry. I apologize. This wasn't Sean. This was the Big Gold Belt podcast. They'd interviewed Nick earlier in the week, and they'd also actually interviewed Isaiah Frazier as well. A couple of great interviews, which definitely I'd recommend checking out. And I didn't realize he was British at that point at all. I guess could you tell from the accent straight away?
He talked about it on Impact.
Okay, I just didn't pick it up. But he said he was like a Brit living in Virginia. I was like, well, I'm a Brit living in Virginia. You're a Brit living in Virginia. I should take the British flag. Yeah. Now, I actually was going to take, technically, English. I prefer the phrase English over British because it's more specific of the country rather than a region. But not many people know the English flag. So I was like, well, I'm just going to take the British flag. Everyone knows the British flag. Because you see it at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I was going to take... And when he got up there, I was like, I guess we'll have, like, that picture. And he's like, you don't sound very happy. I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I was like, I'm upset because I forgot to bring the British flag. But we got a picture of you holding it. You were holding his whole belt.
Yeah.
I thought he said he was going to hold half of it. And I was more focused on taking the picture, so I didn't notice. Now, what I didn't tell you was I actually cropped that picture today. I cropped Nick Aldis out of the whole picture.
Why?
So it's just you holding the... No, I have two copies. Don't worry. It's just you holding the belt. And I tweeted this morning, shock result from at VA Wrestling. Mason defeated at real Nick Aldis and will now defend his NWA belt against at Cody Rhodes at hashtag all in. And then a winky face at the end to show that I was joking in case anyone didn't realize I was actually joking. Somebody did respond to that. At BS Schwing 22, my money is on young Mason. Looks like he's a heck of a worker. So, and at Mr. Bagshaw responded, except when it comes to tidying his room. Ha ha ha. And we had a few issues before recording this podcast about that one. And actually, the gated community, actually, was it the gate? I think it was actually just Teflon Don who posted this. He responded, the at WWE has at WWE just Nicholas, and at VA Wrestling has Mason. So I thought that was a nice one as well. So yeah, I tried to make it look like you'd actually beaten Nick Aldis, or clearly you didn't. And I also posted for that one, the Brits are rooting for the Brit at Real Nick Aldis and his NWA title defense at BA Wrestling at hashtag Commonwealth Cup Day 2. Now, we were probably the only ones cheering for Nick. Well, I was the only one cheering for Nick. I think there was one other person.
I was cheering.
You were cheering as well? There wasn't many. The overall support was for Isaiah Frazier. And if he hadn't been British, I would have been cheering for Isaiah Frazier because he was the local person. He was the Nova person. Once again, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a shame Isaiah had that match the night before.
Yeah.
I had no doubts Nick was going to win this one. I always thought he was going to face Cody Rhodes, but it was cool that they had that match and we got to see the title. I don't really have much to say. I want to see more Nick Aldis, though. I will say that.
Yeah, so Coach Gator said that he already booked tickets, the train tickets to Chicago.
I don't know who travels by train nowadays, but yeah.
I know, he lost, but yeah, he was just joking. And, yeah, Nick Aldis, he had Isaiah Frazier up in the air, and he held him up for 10 seconds, and we count that they, it was like Bobby Lashley.
Now, I wonder on that, what's more impressive, the person lifting him up, or the person being lifted up keeping their balance? Because he could just throw his legs, and you'd lose balance straight away. I don't know. I'm kind of curious now. I thought that as I was watching it. It might be a bit of both. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that'd
like
be a good
75 for holding him up and 25 for keeping balance.
That'd be a question I'd like to ask somebody like that in the future. How does that work? But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
All I had was that there was good sportsmanship at the end.
There definitely was, yeah. And I thought it was a really good match. All right, let's move on to one more match then before we get to the final. I think there's just one more. All right, so this was the Carnies returning. This was Kerry Awful and Nikigi. And this was the one we'd really could look forward to. Safety first, Tim Dance and Nick Gage. It's like, oh my goodness, could they be any more polar opposites to each other? And I heard people say, I can't wait to see Nick Gage's expression. And yeah, do you want to lead this one? I have plenty of stuff
so,
for this.
Yeah, I don't even need to look at my notes.
I don't either, really.
Tim Dance, he came out as safety first. And they were helping him in the ring and all that stuff. He climbs on the two people, and then Nick Gage, he just gets in the ring.
All right, I got something for this, and I didn't notice this until I watched Powerbomb TV. Yeah. I wanted to see this a little bit again, because I think this is one where they're actually diving into us later. As they're climbing in, he has a tool in his mouth.
Yeah, I noticed that.
How safe is that? So I actually tweeted Tim Dance as well. How come the safety squad is letting you climb into a ring with a tool? I did this from your Twitter feed. So it looks like Mason saying this. How did none of your safety squad notice that you had a tool in your mouth as you were climbing in? Because it looks like this is definitely not safe. I have to sit down even when I'm eating a lollipop. So I made it look like it was from a 10-year-old. But no, I was like, whoa, I never noticed that before. That is kind of dangerous. If he slipped or something. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, carry on. But that was one thing I had on my list.
I forgot my trip.
It just climbed into the ring. That was what you said.
Yeah, and Nick Gage, he just got in without any help, and then the match, so Tim Dance started, So Nick Gage, he was not happy. He wanted him to turn into the Tim Dance, like the AIW Tim Dance.
Uh-huh.
And then Nick Gage tagged in, and he's about to go to the top, and then Tim Dance said, no, that's not safe, and then, I think it was Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea? That's a singer. Nick Iggy.
Oh,
no. Iggy Azalea is a female rapper from Australia.
Nick Iggy. He knocked Nick Gage off the apron, and the safety squad caught him. And then he carried them around the ring, and he threw them back in the ring.
As they carried him around, that's when they dived through. That was when they got out of the way. And they were like, get out of the way, get out of the way. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I actually didn't realize what was going on. And suddenly I saw a flash come by me, and they did a second move. And I wasn't ready for that at all. I should have moved out of the way, I guess. I was like, this is cool. I like it when they jump out of me. And I didn't notice that one. My camera got switched on by accident at that point, and it filmed it, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't see much, but you can see the camera was up, and then suddenly it twisted sideways, and you can see the movement, and yeah, it was kind of crazy. Now, I actually want to go back to earlier in the match, but that's a great quote, Iggy Azalea, there. They brought out Nick Gage first, so we had to watch all the Tim Dance stuff. And when I watched it from Powerbomb TV, the expression on his face is priceless. That's one of the reasons I went back to watch it, really, to see. He was like, what is going on here? And they kept cutting back to him and going to Tim Dance and different things like that. Of course. And also at the start of the ring, like you said, it was Tim and it was Nikigi in the ring. And what was the other guy's name? Kerry Orr. Kerry called to him. He's like, hey, Nick. Nick Higgy turns around. He's like, no, 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 no. Not you, Nick. The other Nick. Nick Gage. Why are you teaming with him? You don't want to team with him, because obviously they have a contrast of styles. He fits more with the Carnies than he fits with Safety First Tim Doms. And he's like, yeah, no, I don't. I don't want to team with him. So you knew right from the start that there was going to be issues with that team, that he didn't really want to be on Tim Doms' side. He didn't like that. He didn't like the safety squad helping him. But, yeah, it was, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So how Tim Doms turned into the BA, okay. Safety First, to the Tim Doms BA.
The regular Tim Doms? Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the Carnies, they slammed Tim Doms through the on the chairs,
uh-huh.
And then he went in the back, and then he had his leather jacket on, and he came out as...
Came back as regular Tim Doms.
Yeah, Tim. Yep. And then they had a no DQ match.
They did?
Yeah. He brought out thumbtacks.
Uh-huh.
You could see on Nick Higgy and Kerry Offal's shoes that when they came out that they had a lot of thumbtacks.
They did. They had like 10 and just one shoe, and they had some in the back, and yeah, they had all that stuff. And yeah, but actually in the end, it backfired on Tim Doms, and he lost.
Yeah.
And Nick Gage was very unhappy with that. Now, actually, one more thing before that. As they were starting to leave, as the Carnies were leaving, Bo Crockett came out, who used to be with the Carnies, double low blow, and hit them with a snow shovel. How are you getting a snow shovel in June? Okay, my mind is obviously warped a little bit, but that was the first thing that came into my mind. If it was in December, I would have been like, oh, obviously, because you've got a snow shovel because you're playing on the sidewalk. In June, if you asked me to get a snow shovel right now...
It's still with the price tag on it.
They probably got it on sale then. It was the cheapest thing they could find to use as a weapon, so they bought that. I don't know. And yeah, that one. And actually, didn't the 1% actually like that? They normally hate
Bo. They said thank you, welcome. No, boat stay boat.
But yeah,
boat stay boat.
Yeah, they did the opposite, so that kind of shows it. And then they went out the ring as well. And then Gage swears that never he's not going to tag team with Doms again. He's like, that's it. And then Tim challenges him to a fight. And actually, they set it up. They came over and said, look, are you free on this date? So we're going to miss that one, unfortunately. But yeah, July 8th, I think it is, or somewhere around that. It might be 6th, actually. July 6th. Yeah, they're actually going to do that fight, so they are going to get together again. But yeah, once again, I think I got to thank Maddie and Zach for saving you again, because that was another one where you had to move out the side, and they took care of you. I just stood there and
watched it.
I just stood there and watched it. Now... And unless there's anything you want to say about this match, I got one final thing I want to say about this match.
No.
All right. Conspiracy theory. Now, we actually asked a question on, now I'll get it right this time, this is the Squared Circle podcast that I asked this one. And we actually asked Tim Doms. We were at BCW last week. We saw Wes Danger Rogers there, who had Safety First on his tights. Do you know who that is? And Tim Doms was really nice. He acknowledged you personally. And he mentioned you by name, Mason. And what I heard, he was like, no, I don't know who that is. And then on Friday when we turned up, who was there as part of his safety squad? Where's Danger Rogers? I was like, oh, wow. I guess he managed to find out.
It was actually him.
It was him. I was like, oh, I guess he managed to find out. And didn't he have Safety First on his pants? Because he was part of it. I was like, oh, cool. He must have brought him in for the event. And then same again on Saturday. He was there again. I was like, oh, wow. And I have questions like, I'd like to, we saw him several times, but it wasn't really convenient. It was like, oh, look who's over there, rather than him being right next to us. So we never got a chance to ask him or anything. And, all right, so here's my conspiracy theory. It looks like Tim Doms is done with Safety First now.
Yeah.
It looks like he's gone back to his regular old Tim Doms character. Here's my conspiracy theory. Wes Danger Rogers was only there to ensure Tim Doms gave up his Safety First handle. It's Wes Danger Rogers' character. He had it longer. He had Safety First. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know for sure. That's what a conspiracy theory is. You don't know. It's got partial bits of truth in it. It might not be true. So he was there to make sure by the end of the weekend that Tim Doms gave up Safety First, because there can only be one Safety First, right? You can't have two. If Wes Danger Rogers came up
with
it first.
But Safety has to be first.
And Wes Danger was the first one, so Wes Rogers gets to keep Safety First. All right. I can't prove or disprove that, but that's my little theory now. But it was kind of a conspiracy theory.
I really think that Mike said that he's starting to turn Nova Pro into PG-13 now.
He said that was for one of the matches in July. I don't think it's in general.
Well, they do curse a lot now. And so I wonder if the Safety First thing is, like, he's gone another level.
That's interesting, too.
Yeah, you can't waste a guy like Tim Doms when he's like
that. Well, we could. He was like, quite... Now, I gotta talk about that as well. That's another thing. I was really unhappy about that. I've never had problems taking you there. The language has always been fine. There's been an occasional word, normally followed by a oops. I'm like, so sorry, or we didn't mean to say. There was a lot. There was a lot on day one. I understand when it's Nick, Effin, Gage. I understand that a little bit. But there was lots of times when it didn't need to be said, and it was said. Also, surprisingly, from the women as well. When they were being thrown, I'm not mentioning names, but when certain women were thrown, you could hear comments. And if it's, and then, like I said, with that conversation, let's talk about even more. I don't know. I'm on the fence with that a little bit. I wasn't happy with it. And if it's going to get even more, I know one thing it definitely means is I won't be taking Jackson for a lot longer than I thought. Jackson's our 4-year-old son, and we've seen young kids there as well. I'm like, oh, they're fine with it. And I'm like, it is. It's probably okay. I would never have taken him to a Nick Gage session. But I was thinking the women. I was like, sure, I'll take him there. Yeah, I think you're right to raise that. There was a lot of language, which really disappointed me. I don't mind if that's a show you're trying to set up, but that's clearly one that we won't be going to in the future if it's going to be consistently like that. So I don't know. All right, let's move on to our last match while we had that little downer there. So this was the four-person elimination. This is Arik Royal, Sage Phillips, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, and Wheeler Yuta to decide who was going to be the Men's Commonwealth Cup final. All right, Mason, what you got?
I've got the, oh gosh, I had to read my the names in my head. So Arik, he pushes, so all of the people, Hot Sauce, Yuta, and Sage, they all go after Arik at the start of the match.
They did, yeah.
They start hitting, punching, And then Arik Royal, he just pushes all of them halfway across the ring.
He did.
But the thing is, I saw, so Sage Phillips, he was on the outside. He pushed Hot Sauce and Yuta, and Sage didn't get any of it, and he still went halfway across the ring.
Now, the thing with Arik Royal is he's clearly strong.
Yep.
And I watched that 2017 one, like I said. Going into that tournament, he was undefeated. I think he was like 10-0, and he only lost to Logan. And he's not really lost much since we've been there either. I know he's lost to Gunnar a couple of times. Neither of them were really convincing. They were like low blows and things like that. So he's obviously a very strong. But yeah, the fact he could take out all three was really impressive.
Hot Sauce is strong too.
He is. They were good. Now, I'm going to cut to the chase a little bit. I'm going to get to the last two and you can fill in gaps if you want to. So the first person eliminated was Hot Sauce Tracy Williams by pinfall from Arik Royal. Next person eliminated, Sage Phillips by Arik Royal. By pinfall. I don't know if you want to talk about anything more of that, but then we're getting to the last two. So Wheeler and Arik were the last two, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know Wheeler, he was on the inside of the ring and Arik was there on the outside next to us, and then Yuta, he dived out. And in the, well, before that, Sage, he punched Arik Royal about 100 times. And then when Arik was just chilling on the outside of the ring, he was like, oh my gosh, Sage just punched me about 100 times in the face.
He did.
And then I told him, don't worry, you got the upper hand on that that one uppercut.
You did, yeah.
So he got 99, Sage got 99, and he still lost.
He did.
Yeah.
And they were right by us as well. That was another one where I was like, I had a big smile on my face, because he's a big guy.
Yep.
And they both came sort of right by us. And yeah, no, that was a cool part to it as well. All right, do you want to give us the finish for this one, or the aftermath possibly as well?
I'll give the aftermath.
All right, so we'll finish it up then.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of submission moves that Wheeler kept putting on Arik, and it looked like he was going to tap. He got to the ring, got to the side ring, but he kept managing to put those moves on. So although he's a bigger guy, if he's on the floor, that's the way that you beat him, and Wheeler was good enough. And I like they gave Wheeler that push. I wanted Arik to win, and I actually had Arik as my pick. But I have no problems with Wheeler winning as well. I think he's a really good technical wrestler, and I think that's good that they give it to that young person who I think deserves it. Certainly a quality wrestler. And yeah, Wheeler Yuta wins it, no problem. You get the Commonwealth Cup brought out, and it looks like everything's going well. Everyone's sort of getting ready to leave, and go ahead.
Homicide comes out.
Yep.
Homicide, he comes and attacks Wheeler Yuta, and then He grabs Brian, and then there's a fan that yells out, "Don't you dare touch Brian." And then he yells at
the
Brian.
The fans love Brian. Everyone respects Brian.
Yeah. And then he yells at Brian to announce that Homicide really won the match.
He did.
So
I got to fill in a couple of gaps here. He took out Yuta with what's called the Cop Killer. That's his signature move. He also kicked the cup out of the ring. And it actually landed right next to us. It was the person who was to the side of me. It was right next to them. And he actually tried putting it together again. And you could see the cups bent.
I got a picture of it.
And I did a selfie actually with myself and the cup as well. And you can see that it's bent at that point as well. I think I was shocked as everybody else was. He threatened a ref.
Yeah.
He threatened Yuta, and he made all sorts of different threats. And that's actually why I wondered on the Powerbomb TV thing. I was like, did they call that out? Was that supposed to happen? Was it just, did they just go too far? Or I didn't know. I honestly didn't know at that point. I was like, whoa, was that just like a kayfabe broken moment again? Or I had no idea at that point. And then that came back to me, that moment I said it, because everyone was like, what happened? I was like, I called it earlier. That 2 second count. That was it. That's why they set it up like that. So Homicide didn't actually beat Yuta. He got cheated out of it, but that's why Homicide came back. But I think a lot of people were confused as to why Homicide came back at that point, because it didn't seem to make a lot of sense.
I thought you understood. That's why.
I did understand. I didn't think the other people did.
As soon as he came out, I was like, now I understand it.
Uh-huh.
He wants to... I wonder if he was going to call a rematch in...
I wondered that possibly as well.
Yeah, for like the Commonwealth Cup, and then Yuta would accept it in American Slam.
Sure. Now, actually, Yuta was on Twitter later. He said, proud to represent at VA Wrestling as the 2018 Men's Commonwealth Cup champion. However, Homicide and I have unfinished business, so that could still happen. I won't forget last night. And the only final one was from Beyond Wrestling, which said, great, now Wheeler Yuta has to wrestle Nick Gage and then PCO at American Rana. Now, I have no idea what that reference is to, but I did check Beyond Wrestling is on Powerbomb TV.
Wow.
So I will, and American Rana runs at the end of July.
Wow.
So I will definitely, if Nick Gage and PCO and Wheeler Yuta are all in that tournament, I definitely want to see that. Or if that's just a whatever match, I don't know if that's a tournament or if it's just a string of matches. No idea. I don't know where Beyond Wrestling is. I think it's Massachusetts.
I don't know where Beyond Wrestling is, the other one.
American Rana?
Yeah.
That's the name of the event.
Oh.
That's the name of their event that's in July. It's like American Slang, I guess. Same sort of idea. So obviously this is not over yet. There'll be other things coming, but that's certainly it for us. I'm not sure what we're going to call our next episode, Mason. Normally we'd call it A6, but we're not actually going to be at the next event. So I'm not sure how that's actually going to work out. Because we're going to be in England. I'm not sure if it's on Powerbomb. I don't think they announced that yet. So it might be we're not going to get to see that one. It might be if we go to A7, they might have a video for A6. We're just calling them A because it's our first year at doing them. And the number is which event it actually is. We might just have to record one that says A6. We'll record this when we've actually seen it. Put that out, and then we can always release a proper edition later. But, yeah. No, I don't know. I guess our little cliffhanger is what's going to happen with the language situation. Is that going to be something that's too severe for us, or is that something that's not
going to... PCO going to come back?
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to see. Is PCO going to come back? But considering this was going to be a short episode, I think we've probably gone way over that.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompitech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.